Father in heaven, we bless thy holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Keep us, Father, Lord, in thy word in this last few grain of time in your prophetic hourglass, O Lord. For soon, Lord, we know our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ will come and take his bride. And the world, O Lord, is in great distress now and still will continue to be. And the armies are on the march over here in the eastern side of the world. In Asia, Father, we see a lot of movement now, Lord. Military might being shown and so forth. And we see Europe, oh Father, in the condition they are in. Every nation in Europe looking for the president that they might solve their problem, oh Lord, of the economy and so on and so forth. We see America, oh Lord, the mighty one, is now fallen in such a way and rearing its ugly head for all these last several decades of time. We know, Lord, that whatever goes up will surely fall when it bends, when all that which rises up in pride, O Lord, will surely fall, Lord. And Father, we are seeing all these things come to pass. And Lord, there is a people in this world today that are getting themselves ready for the coming of the Lord. And we pray that, Lord, this fellowship here will be in thy sight, Lord, Lord, find favor with you. That our life, Father, Lord, be found pleasing, Father. That we act, that we should act as believers, loving one another, forgiving one another, overlooking one another's fault, O Lord. And we pray, Father, Lord, that we behave like Jesus Christ. Your Spirit guide us, Father. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses. Forgive us, O Lord, of the things that we have done that displeases you, that cause others to stumble. Keep us, Lord, in thy word. Forgive us. And we pray, Father, for all the ministers around the world who are doing the work in the ministry that you call them to do. We know many of them, Lord, are facing, Lord, all sorts of criticism, accusation, even like Brother Andrew's visit over there in the Philippines, oh Lord. And how that there are all this evil and falsehood, oh Lord, coming forth from the pit of hell. And those, oh Lord, like it was the days of Job, there will always be that spirit that will come in to the assemblies and the saints of God when they gather together to fellowship and accuse one another. We ask for your grace among us here to this morning. And all those that will hear this message as well, Father, as we continue to study. The Lord, we open our heart to receive your word of truth and understand what you want us to do. That your word, O Father, that shows your plan and your purpose in our life, that we need to understand where we stand before you and how we should walk before you. As we, oh Lord, we should help us to be like Abraham. When you call him to walk before thee and be perfect, and he was a man that do that, O Father. And he set the example for us. So may our life, Father, be pleasing to you this morning, then, Father, as we hear your word, help us now. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're still on the trail of the serpent, and now let's go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, now let's go to chapter End of chapter 3. We have, no, not end of chapter 3, sorry. Chapter 4. All right. You know, it's a bit hard to see now because my eyes have, there's some slight cataract on my left eye. And so. All right. So we see in chapter 4, as we come to the end of that chapter 4, in verse 16 onward, now we can see the descendant of Cain. And here we have this record of the descendant of Cain, where we see Lamech being the last one in that lineage. And it is very clear, as I have explicit this many times, and also in my book, that Lamech was the last of the pure Sethite, because his firstborn by his first wife Ada, his name was Jabba, was actually the mother was a Sethite. And it could be seen from that which God had given the understanding, the clue or the hint or the mystery which is there right before people's face, but they never really examine it. Alright, verse 20. And Ada bare Jabba, he was the father of such as dwell in tent, and such as have cattle. And therefore you can see that that was the genetic makeup of Ada by the mother's side, which is more prominent. And that's why he took to raising of cattle, just like the Sethite. And his brother's name was Jubah. He was the father of all such as handle the harps and the organ, that Jubah, his younger brother, took to more towards the side of the father, whose genetic makeup in him, of course, was stronger. As you all know, that every one of us, we came from our father and mother, half of the chromosome from the father, half of which from the mother, and depends on this, the dominance cells, whether they come from the father or not, it will show in the child's life, it will show in our life. And Lamech's second wife, Zillah, bare Tubal-Cain. And you can see obviously that, as the Bible said, he was an instructor of every artifact. And clearly that Zillah must be the wife from the Cainic side. Alright? So that is to say, Lamech married a Sethic wife and a Cainic wife. And her first wife, of course, bare the first son Jabba, and therefore, being that he was linked, the lineage could no longer continue. Or showing us, therefore, Lamech was the last of the pure Cainic line. And then, of course, in verse 22, Tubal-Cain has a sister whose name was Naamah, as we know. And it is this mystery that lies here that tells that we need to look into as to who was Naamah. And I have already explained many times that Naamah was the wife of Noah. Now, a lot of people said that's nonsense. It never said in the Bible that Noah married Naamah. The Bible does not tell you who married who all the time. The mystery is hidden from those who said that I'm foolish. And they are the smart one, because they have the PhD, or because they go to Bible college and study it. And that's why I do not believe in intellectual mind going to a college and studying, come up with a square head, a hat, I would say. Actually, the brain is square in them, and you know, they don't know how to deal with the Word of God. And that's why the mystery of the Word of God is given only to those who will learn, and those that are such as children of the living God. Amen? And and then in continue right now, that of course Lamech killed a person, and harm a young man, and of course we know it refers to, as the rabbi would say, that he killed Cain by accident, and the young man was his son, Tubal-Cain, whom he popped, you know, his ears and so on. But that is the rabbi's story, the tradition of the Jew, but we do not know how much is that is scripturally the truth. And then we already see in verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. And in chapter 5, he goes to show here the descendant of Adam. And like it or not, many times, if we don't read the scripture carefully, we will miss a lot of mystery that is hidden there, because the Bible does not tell us in detail of everything. But we have to look, read into it, and see the space of time between, just like Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, the space and gap of time in between. So here we have in verse 1 of chapter 5, say this, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, make he him. Male and female create he them, and bless them and call their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Their name Adam, of course, because their name just meaning means mankind. You understand? So when Eve was given to Adam, she had no name as yet. Okay, it was only later that Adam called her Eve, being the mother of all living, because she was mother of both Cain and Abel. Alright, then of course the woman then had a name. And it's saying verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. So 130 years later, in between the time when Adam had Abel, the time when he knew Eve, Adam never knew Eve at all for 130 years, or 129 years, so to speak, in between. The 130th year of his life, then Seth was born. You know? So you can understand that back in those days, the Satak people, and we can see later, even by careful analysis of the word, we can see that the Satak people are not sex maniac, as would be the Kenic people. You understand what I'm saying? Even when they cross over the line to take the Kenic woman for wife, they only have one wife. They don't take two. Like Amos of Nigeria, who claimed to be the elite apostle, said that the Satai went wild and started to take many wives for themselves, which is not what the Bible teaches. You know? Alright? It's the Kenic people that will take more than one wife, because if it's a Kenic person like Laman, who decided to have more than one wife. You see, that serpent gene, that serpent trait, and how Satan possessed this serpent to pass that trait into Cain, all his evil trait, all the perversion, the corruption, the killing, the murder, the lies, all that which Satan himself was, the being, you know. Remember how Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Thou art your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies." It's all went back, not in the Garden of Eden, but way back when he started to kill among the dinosaurs and so on. And so that's the spirit of Satan. Now let me show you the chart. Let's look at the first chart now. Now this is a chart which I drew way back in the beginning, back in late 1970s, when the Lord gave me the understanding of all this corruption between the two lines, that I drew this. Alright, so you can see that is the Adam's line, how that it mixed, later on how that, you know, the lineage became to mix in two. Alright? And it was only in the time of Noah that Noah married Naaman. And he was the last of the pure Satic. They will always have one wife only. Okay? And it was in the days of Enos, after he was born, the man began to call upon the name of the Lord. It was in this period of time. They got worse and worse and so on. Alright, see the next chart. Alright, this is a chart that you can see in my book. Here we have Adam, And Abel was killed, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Yerah, Enoch, Mahathusalah, Lamech, and Noah. And here we have the serpent side. Alright, Cain was the firstborn. And after that, Enoch, Erech, Mahujael, Mathusael, and Lamech. Alright? And so Jabal was here, Jubal, Adah was a Setite, Zillah was a Kenite. And he is the last of the pure Kenite firstborn, married two wives. Now, thought that this is so simple for people to see it, and I drew all these years, like the big chart that I drew all these many years, having a lot of time studying. And these titles, sons of God and the sons of man, cannot be interchanged. Alright? I have exposed it back in the 80s, and yet there are people, ministers who always want to challenge, and they make those mistakes and told them they are wrong, they will not accept it. And even like Amos today, you won't accept it. People just come to a place when you know one thing, brother and sister, when we're talking about the trail of the serpent, remember one thing, that the trail of the serpent has come all the way to this time. And that spirit is still among us. Even about Brother Abraham talked about the true vine and the false vine. They are so close together. You understand? And that spirit of Satan, the serpent, that spirit is still moving in the church. You understand that? Church, like the end time message. We don't worry about the denomination. But in the end time message church, that spirit is moving in and cause so much trouble. Do you see what I'm talking about? So we need to be careful and that your spirit do not get entangled with that spirit. Alright, so when we talk about the sons of God, all are sons of God. Sons of men are not. You understand that? Alright? So sons of men always has been about mortal men who are carnal or fleshly. You understand? Alright, so this is what we see here. Alright, next up. Okay, here we read just now about Enos, Genesis 4:26. Man began to call upon the name of the Lord. It is during this time, after Enos was born, between Erech, Mahujael, in this period of time, there is when we have the Kenite people begin to worship their idol and invoke God's name upon it. And this is also something that I explicit. And yet many people in denomination and all this would not come to agree, and they can't see. Many anti-messages could not even see that it is the king that called upon the name of Jehovah and invoked it upon the idol. Just like today, the colleague will look at a picture of a little baby Jesus and say that is Santo Nino and Santo don't know what, and touch them and kiss and everything like that and hold it up as it's very sacred, you know. You understand what I'm saying? You see? And this is just like what the Kenites were doing back then. They take an idol and whatever, and they invoke upon that name. Do you remember even that spirit that gets into the children of Israel when they were out there from Egypt into the wilderness? Huh? And when Moses was up there in the Mount Sinai, what were the people asking, you know, Aaron to make for them a golden calf. But what? Why a golden calf? No wonder India worship calf and cows. You know the Hindus. Why is it such a thing about the cow? About the calf. And yet Aaron said, "This be your gods. This be your Elohim." They brought you out of Egypt. You see. Invoke the name upon it. And this is what is happening, the what was happening back then. So you know, we all know that the name Cain means acquired. Enoch, his name means to initiate or to teach. That's what Enoch means. Initiate to teach. That's why you have Enoch over here and an Enoch later on over here, seven from Adam's. And this is the third or second from Cain. And he was the one that teach the people the wrong thing. You see. Alright? Let us continue. So when we see these two generations side by side, and we also realize that in chapter 5, we can see the whole lineage of Sam from verse 6. Verse 5, and it is very clear. Verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and in his own image. The Bible clearly tells us this. Just that one verse. And yet many people don't see the difference between Adam being in the image of God and the likeness of God. But the Bible right now tells us that Seth, that was born of Adam, was no longer in the image of God and no longer in the image of and the likeness of God. You see, why is it pointing only to Adam? Because God imputed sin upon Adam. And to this day, we all, mankind are not in the image of God, are not really in the image or likeness of God. There is something corrupt here in our body. Though in the sense mankind was created in the image and likeness of God, but it is no longer used in that way in the Bible. The Bible don't point that directly to God. It points directly to Adam. You know. And then back after the flood came, when all the poor population was, the world was populated, they all point back to Noah and his wife. The one blood. But people think that the one part the Bible mentioned points back to Adam. No. We all came back, we all came from, because back in the day before the flood, there is that line that is pure satite. There is a line that is the serpent seed line. But after the flood, it's gone. So here in chapter 5, verse 6 onward, we can see all this lineage. You can see how they keep themselves pure. These are the firstborn. Alright. Now, there is a separation here before the flood. That the Sunday people, they live that life. They do not want to mix with the Canaan people. But the Canaan people would want to try to mix themselves with the other from the Semitic line. Do you see the thing about it? And of course, by the time that Lamech took the second wife, we already see that in chapter 6 later on, we find that they already begin. People already start to intermarriage. Alright, let's go right down to chapter 6 and let us look in the next chapter. Now, if you look at the Bible in chapter 6 carefully as we go, but just look at the chart here first. Here we have Mahalali, and I said that after Enoch was born, the man began to call upon the name of the Lord. So it's from Iraq and Mahujah, or from Canaan to Mahalali. In this period of time, man began to worship idol, invoking God's name on it. And then the next generation, we find that Enoch was raised up to prophesy about the impending judgment. And you can read that in Jude chapter 1 verse 14. Is that right? So why did Enoch, why was Enoch brought forth to prophesy? Was because that the generation before him were already in such a very bad state. So he has therefore to be from Mahalaleel and Jerel. That's why all this period of time. And that's why you find Lamech only got two wives here. You understand? The generation gap is not very far apart from each other. Okay, so now let's go to chapter 6 then. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, this is two simple verses that I think, if we don't read it carefully as usual, like many other verses of Scripture, we will miss what it says here. And I believe that if you love the word of God and you study it and you spend time even to talk to Christian friends. Normally I don't think that you would want to talk to Christian friends who are not interested in the Bible. But if those who are interested in the Bible, you know, you will sit around and discuss with them. They will still not see what these verses really are, what it pertains to. Now, he said, the Bible said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Here tells us that God put the blame of what's going to happen in the world from that period of time upon the sons of God. He didn't put the blame upon the sons of men. You know why? Every one of us here are sons of God and daughters of God. We are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to uphold the truth of God, the light of God. But if we go out there and mess our life up and, you know, don't live that which God designed, we embrace the world and corrupt ourselves, what happened? The problem of the world will be put on us. You see? Do you understand? No wonder the Jews today, why did the world today hate the Jews so much? The one race, of all races in the world, the one race is so hateful. Even no matter what's out there in extreme Islam, how can the people do not blame it on them? And he read in the paper recently of what an American senator was saying, it's time to call this whole thing to a stop. Why are they so double-sided, double-minded about Israel? And blame Israel for the trouble when they know it isn't. It's the Arabic world, it's extremists out there. But why was Israel so hated? You go look into the Old Testament. If they have kept the law of God and maintained what God tells them, they would not have this trouble. You know. There's not them to corrupt themselves by marrying all these foreign wives. Huh? And worship their gods. Is that right? And want to have kings. That's not the way. That's what we talk about on Friday. We are different from the world. You know. But well, verse 3, and God said, my spirit shall not always trouble in man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So God is going to cut it down. Now, when God speaks this verse 3, he did not speak to Noah, you know. A lot of people say God speak to Noah. He didn't. God didn't say God speak to Noah. He just told Noah to be an ark later, right? But people think that this is when God spoke to Noah. Noah, I'm going to give man 120 years left. So better start building the ark. God just spoke to himself. My spirit longer was struggling man. Probably he uttered it to the angels. You know. Alright? So then we see here in verse 4. Here's where denomination again make this mistake. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were the old men of renown. So now here, verse 4, let's go and read verse 5 as well. And the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts, were only evil continually. And he depended on the Lord, he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowl of the air. For he repented me that I have made them. So now, God was upset with the condition of the world. Because there were giants those days, because the sons of God, now, I don't even mention the daughters of God. It just mentioned the sons of God. God is always using the son as because it is the male. Because it is the responsibility of the man. They went and crossed over to that line and took Canaan wife. And what happened? It took at least about two generations. Not the first generation, you may not have giant. Usually, second generation, you see manifestation Alright? By the time the third generation appeared, you would have big giant. So by the second generation, you would already might have a few giants. Now, what are these giants? Now, in the Word of the Bible, they have all kinds of names, Raphaim, Nephilim, and people think that because the Hebrew use this word, it sounds so mystical. You know, as if that these are not what English would describe as giant. It means man of big stature or stature in intellect. You know, we take for example like, Bill Gates is a giant. The intellectual giant. Isn't it so? Yeah. Warren Buffett is a financial giant. I mean, intellectual. But you would Raphaim, Nephilim, people idea, it sounds like some kind of a strange, a mystical being. And so they say this fallen angel that came down and pressed into man, and have sex with a woman and produced these strange creatures. Sons of God are never called angels. Angels are never called sons of God. Sons of God are sons of God. The title, the name itself, what we call it? Title? Or descriptive word? Sons of God. Sons means that you must have a father. And you must be able to reproduce. Angels never call God father. Yes. They call him Elohim, Yehovah. The Al Shaddai. Because when you talk about Father, it must a special relationship. Angel call God Master, Lord, because they are servants. That's what Jesus cut to his disciple. I no longer call you servant, I call you my friend. You know. You see the title, all this tells us about relationship. But yet today people insist on having their own idea. Out of theology, out of a school, our traditions. So now when we look at it, there were giants in those days, they were not any other special mystical creature from heavenly being or whatever. That's a whole Hollywood, like to produce all funny fantasy movie. You know. They even make movie about Lucifer and Gabriel and Michael fighting each other too. And all that stuff. Alright. So we see this now because of this intermarriage and hybriding. God had to call it to a stop. So he found a man, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, when we find this word here, I want to really say something here. We don't think the word grace, we know what grace represents. What's the meaning of grace? Grace means undeserved favor. Right? It undeserved favor. It means say that no matter what we all found grace in God's sight. Correct? Not because we are good. Is that right? Not because we are good. And you know when I said that God chose Noah because also that he was pure. Oh no, brother Gunn, that is wrong, because the Bible said that Noah found grace. He must be corrupt. Come on. In the world today, we are all kinds of people. The rich, the good guys, and the bad extremist guys. Right. I mean, there are a lot of criminals in Germany prison. They've given their life to the law. I don't know how many people they've killed or whatever. Well, that's the grace. And there are also the good guys, like you, maybe. Good people, you know. So, what does it mean? It's grace. But we're talking about grace as different from that which God chose. But watch what he says here. Verse 9. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So now, first of all, verse 8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's it. It didn't say anything else. Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was good, he was perfect. No. But the Bible tells us what kind of person he was physically. The Bible says he was righteous, just like Lot was righteous, just like Job was righteous because he feared God. But the Bible also said that, and perfect in his generation. What the word perfect? Perfect no means that he was a perfect man. No. Perfect because of his gene. It comes from the Greek, a Hebrew word, tamin. Tamin means pure, a pedigree. You know what a pedigree is, right? Not mixed. That's what it shouldn't mean. But people read the Bible as if they just read it and they give their own interpretation from a handed-down tradition and even among the anti-message churches. Now, I say this. If we have a good foundation of Genesis, the creation, the fall, how the serpent seed line move, when we see what's happening in the beginning, right, then we realize that there must be a purpose and a plan of God. Some people ask, people do not believe. Remember the man I showed a video of, whose name is Rudy Davis, who had the YouTube where he put and how that he took my book, the original, and how he was looking for, he believed the serpent seed was true. But he said, how come people cannot? He wrote me an email those days. He said, how come people cannot see it? The original sin is involved the serpent. It's so clear. Yeah, it is there actually. It's not difficult to understand, but it's the people close their eyes. It's just like Cain, who know what to do good, the right sacrifice, but he closed it and he prideful, he think that his opinion is better. So the same thing with today Christians, because they do not want to know what is truth, because they want to hold to their tradition. Don't ruffle my nest. I'm comfortable. But if you are an eagle, when you are young, mama eagle will take care of you and the nest will be very comfortable. But when it comes time for you to fly, if you don't get up and fly, mama will ruffle that nest and make a mess of it. Because no longer can you sit down without having your backside poked by a twig or something. You know? And your mama will push you out of the nest and will kick you out. Because time for you to be mature to learn and fly. And all of which have learn to fly is because they don't learn the word of God. Always being fat, fat, fat. I know you all need to be fat. God wants you to be fat. But when you are fat, you need to go and digest it properly by opening up the word of God and looking to it. Learn the book of and see. That's what Brother Andrew Peter was saying. Did I mention Brother Gandhi? I preach Brother Gandhi. That's the problem is everybody doesn't like the name Richard Gandhi. Well, also I was attacked once like that over the bow. I don't know why. Maybe I should change my name. Can I? You see, even when you nominate your head, the name Branham, Brother Branham. What's wrong with people? You know. Oh, well, that's the serpent spirit moving around, thrilling. Alright, so the earth was corrupt, and he says here in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know, when you get that giant, big people coming up, and intellectual, you know this world, the problem of the world today, basically, you can see, are controlled by intellectual people. Huh? I think a good example is India. How corrupt India is. The government up there is corrupt, huh? And the businessmen also have find a way to corrupt themselves, making money by corruption. I don't know what happened to Singapore in the future if we have government, the minister who is not, good and have a moral standard. What will happen to Singapore? Go back before Lee Kuan Yew was in power. Go back to Lim Yew Hock's time. The corruption that was there. You know, we lost our Christmas Island. Something like that was sold to Australia, I can't remember. You know what is this? All because of money. Look at America today. That's why a lot of people don't understand. Why do you think they have 911? Osama bin Laden, I said it's not. It is all because of the greenback, the US dollars. Look into it. Because the world was actually buying now from Saudi Arabia and all those oil countries, not using US dollars. They are fed up because the US dollars is, they don't have any gold to pack to the US dollars. And the Federal Reserve are just bringing money and lend it to the US government. Do you know the American dollars are not, doesn't belong to the US government? It belongs to the Federal Reserve. Can you believe that? An external body. So the oil was being sold from Iran, Iraq and all this. They were selling oil using euro. And America was afraid because they're bringing money. And nobody wanted to use it. So what did they do? Create war. It's always like that. Go look to history. If the US dollar is not being used in the world, you think America survive? No, it cannot survive. The US is smart, make the money goes round. Everywhere, everybody is using the US dollars. Ripped off that, US fall. You know the intellectual mind are doing all this conniving. Yes. In the history, in the Bible, you go back to this, how did this intellectual man, how they run the country. How terrible it really is. Huh? Look at the Philippines. After all these many years, we got all this problem. Mongol was doing all the best he can. I was a good man. But the wife is another thing. And then after that, you have another problem. Now Duterte came in. Duterte got to do something. Now he's become a considered a madman. Trying to kill people for... he's trying to do something. The drug is a problem. No. Drug is not a problem to many people. Remember Singapore was the first country to have death sentence? You go back to the 70 or 80, I think. And the Christ, the world Christ that we are. We're living in the dark age or something like that. We are evil and barbaric and whatever. And when we come to killing, that's terrible. What? A civilized country, no chewing gum? You cannot eat chewing gum? Who said that? You see, the American people, they are one-sided. They always pass all this thing. You can eat chewing gum, you can chew. But you are not allowed to sell. You know that? That's the difference, that you can eat chewing gum. You can buy back chewing gum. But in a certain one, beyond that, they say, are you selling? And you should know that Singapore street is so clean now. Before that, some of you do not know. You look at the street, all the chewing gum on the street, the black patches everywhere. And some woman sitting in the bus and put their head back, they get stuck to a chewing gum at the back of their thing. Yes. Now look, are we civilized? No, we are not civilized, you see. All these intellectual trying to run the country in this way. We run the country with sincerity, with moral standard. What's good for the people, not what's good for themselves. Alright, so now we see. God said the world now is corrupt before me, it's full of violence. And God looked upon the earth, verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh was corrupt, had corrupt his way upon the earth. Now all flesh had corrupt his way upon the earth. Now when he said all flesh is corrupt, it doesn't mean it's inclusive of everyone. Because Noah's flesh was not corrupt. Huh? And therefore there are definitely others whose flesh are not corrupt. Right? But when we say all for one and one for all, it's not okay word. So do not just simply use all inclusive 100%. Like my friend used to say. You know the meaning of all, right? Just an expression. As to emphasize the majority of them. Not all, literally. Because if it is so, then when Jesus was in the temple preaching, all came to see him. Wow, a temple cannot hold it. The temple ground cannot hold the tens or 20,000s of people. Alright? Neither would the people of Israel down at the foot on the mountain, be able to see what Moses was doing up there. You know, when he anointed Eleazar, I think that's one of the sons of Aaron or Joshua. I can't remember now. You see, it's just an expression. So remember how the words is used. Said that end of all flesh is before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Therefore, and then God told Noah to build an ark. And so Noah built the ark. Now, chapter 7 tells us about the flood that came. And in verse 17, the flood came. So now, before this flood, how did the serpent seed survive? Well, they have their own lineage, right? But now, if we say that God sent this flood to destroy all the serpent seed, that was God's purpose, of course, obviously. Because that was, everyone was, that to say, was corrupt before him. So that's why the last person to die, all the firstborn, they all die out except for Noah. And Noah was given God's grace to be able to go over the flood and propagate a new world. But we understand that there is something here. The Bible did not tell us clearly, but except in hidden form. Then after the flood, the Bible said that the world was populated by the three sons of Noah. Right? And the book of Acts, it says that all of us came from the one blood. But many, as I said, mistook that as the one blood of Adam. Because, no. Because after the flood, that's when we have only the eight people that came out, eight persons that came out of the ark. Four couples, Mr. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Mr. Ham, Mrs. Ham, Mr. Japheth, Mrs. Japheth, and when we have Mr. Shem and Mrs. Shem. Four couples came out. Eight went in, eight came out. That's all. So now the mystery lies as to who are these people? And if we don't know the serpent seed, we don't know about the true understanding of the original sin. And today, 99% of the world, I would say, whether you're Christian or not. In fact, we say that 95% of the Christian world believe that they come from an apple or a fruit. That's what they believe. But if they don't see the serpent seed, they will not know. Why over this flood, over the flood, yet humankind possess that nature? Huh? If I have asked people this question, say, if there was no sin, there was no sin, okay, and mankind comes down all the, do you think that there will be all this killing, this lying? Cannot be. So it has to be a spirit that is at work. Something that gets into the human blood. And we know when we talk about the blood, we talk about life. Because the Bible said, life is in the blood. But what is life? Life comes from the spirit. Isn't that true? What is spirit? Spirit is rock. Means the air, the moving air. Or air, that is to say. So if we do not breathe, we die. Because air is life. And it's the same word means spirit, used in the Hebrew word. Do you understand? Because the Bible said the Spirit of God move upon the surface of the earth. Move means just like air move. The whole earth is covered with air. So you understand what the Bible says now. So when we look into this period of time before the flood and after the flood, Before the flood, all this intermingling causes that serpent nature to survive. And the serpent nature survives in every one of us. You know, Satan was pretty good. When he injected that spirit into the serpent and passed it down to mankind, his purpose was to destroy God's plan, was to upset God's plan, was to thwart the plan of God, whatever he wanted to do. He wanted to be his own kingdom. He became the adversary of God, and so he's always, once you are an adversary, you will always be an adversary. He will not stop. He will do all he can, because God has already cast him out of his heaven. He no longer could go back to heaven, where God sits on his throne. Oh, how art thou fallen? And when you get all this mixture, this intermarriage, I don't know now, I cannot say whether Satan knew what is going to happen after that, but certainly he has a way of trying to destroy. But when he got to this intermingling and inject that serpent nature into the other satic group to produce a new creation, so to speak. Ask you this question. We have a fruit called nectarine. And where does that come from? Or we get another fruit that is, what is the fruit? I can't remember it. That's a fruit that is actually a mix of two. I think nectarine is one of them. What's that?
Plum and apricot.
Oh yes, plum and apricot. There are many fruits that are mixed today, huh? There's so many. I just can't even think of one off my head now. Anybody know what? Just name it. There are so many that is so mixed that it tastes a bit different. Even that, the orange, the big orange, that is not really orange? Huh? Grapefruit. Why is it called grapefruit when it's not grape? It's just given a name. That actually is a bit sour-laced like lemon and a bit orangey, right? But actually it's a hybrid. Many of these fruits are hybrid all these years. So, when you get hybrid like this, in humankind, it's something new. We take the zebra, and the donkey. The fellow is a weird creature. It looks a bit like zebra and big like the donkey. And that's why you get this, what they call the mule. The mule is a male horse with a female donkey. So the head's a bit longer, like almost a horse. But he has the burden of carrying heavy load of a dying donkey, called a zedong. Wow. A liger. A lion and a tigress. I mean, this is a weird creature, and this creature don't exist. But because of the close affinity, they can mix. That's why the serpent can mix with Eve, eggs, his sperm cell and Eve's egg could mix together because of the affinity and produce Cain. And now Cain's descendant is mixing with Eve and Adam's children to create something else. So we call ourselves, are we Adam kind? Are we Adam kind? Well, everybody say we are Adam kind. Yeah, because there is still that part of Adam kind that comes down. Through Noah to us. But Adam kind, we are not really pure. You see. And that's why when we look into this, after the flood, when the water receded, we realized then that of the three sons of Noah, none of them pure. The only one of the eight person that was pure was Noah. And Noah did not have any more sons or any more daughter after the flood. Because his wife committed incest along with Ham. And the Bible tells us that when an incest is committed like this, the term God, there is a curse. Noah's wife became barren. And so the same thing with Ham's. He and his wife could not produce any more after that. Because the last son of Ham and his wife was, what was his name? Canaan. There's no more other sons or daughter born after that. The Bible is clear on this. Look into it very carefully. Because when the Isaiah said this, when the revelation of the word ties into it nicely, everything will fit in. Everything will fit in. You know. Alright, so then the serpent seed survived by the intermingling with the Satan. Both seed has become one. Now, go back before the flood, we have Noah took his wife Naama and gave birth to Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the three sons. They already mixed. So the wife of these three sons, whether they have got a Sethite or a Kenite or a mixed, make no difference. Because the seed came through the man. Right? So the Bible said the whole world was populated by these three sons. So whether you are Indian, whether you are Chinese, or whether you are Filipino, we all came from the three sons of Noah. And nobody is superior. Just because Japheth, God says, I enlarge your camp. Right? Yeah, Japheth was enlarged. Look at the European. Yeah, they were enlarged. So what? And then Ham. Ham went out to Africa and all that. Yeah, they were also a big country. But of course they were messed. Huh? The Shemite. Oh, the Shemite just out there in the Mediterranean region. And of course, they intermarried with those in the Hamic. They also intermarried the Japhetic. And then they move over to Asia, and here we are. Most of those Asiatic people all came from that line of mixtures. How many percent of you? Each and every one. How many percent of us composed of the blood from Japheth? Can we say the blood of Ham and the blood of Shem? How many percent? Only those up there in the Mediterranean, the Shemitic region, they probably can say they're probably 100%. Some of them are pure Shemite. Whether they are the East Jew or whether they are the Arabic people. Huh? And what, we Chinese? Are we Chinese? Well, some say that we came from Ham's line. Are we from Ham's line? Or are we so mixed with Shemite blood in us as well as Japhetic blood in us? Not very much of Japhetic, as if you go out to the northern part of Asia. Like Siberia, like Mongolia. Where you see even some of those Asian people have colored eye too. So we are people so mixed because of the genes that God has created, the DNA, the chromosome, and whatever. They already God has programmed in the blood, and how that when they integrate with others, it will from new varieties. That's why we have one dog, pair of dogs, and we get so many varieties today. One pair of cats, and we have got so many varieties. One pair of men and women in the garden, what a mess. And we have all this variety. Huh? You know, God's wonder to perform. But the reason why when we look into the plan of God, we understand that God knows the end from the beginning. Right? And He allows it. He allows it to be. Because He had a greater, you know, a plan, something much bigger than just this creation of heavens and earth. That's right. See, let me ask you a question right now. What is the most important verse in the Bible? What is the most important verse in the Bible? Huh? You can tell me. John 3:16. Love your enemy as thyself. What is the most important verse? Simple. The most important verse in the Bible is the foremost verse in your Bible. Genesis 1:1. If Genesis 1:1 is not there, the rest of the Bible cannot come forth. If there is no Genesis 1:1, there will be no Bible. Because Genesis 1:1 begins everything. If there is no Genesis 1:1, there will be no John 3:16. It will not be there. John 1:1 will not be there too, to show us anything. You understand that?
Yes.
If you say John 1:1 is the most important, then it's just John 1:1. There's no creation. You won't be here, we won't be here. But because Genesis 1:1 begins life, and it tells us all that's going to happen after that, that begins from there. So why did God create the heavens and the earth? Why did God create you? Why did God bring forth creation? Because there's something better at the end of it. As I said, we know it is not the beginning, it's the end. We don't see the bigger picture at the beginning. He just is taking a balloon to blow it. You need to keep on blowing until it's getting big, 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 big. Then you will see. Because when you have a balloon that is painted with something, a picture on it, when you can't see much until you blow, and then when it gets big, then you stretch and you can see the picture. You know. So that was God's purpose. So when we talk about all this, why did God allow the sin to come? Why did God not stop it? Not stop Eve from doing that? I mean, as we say, God could, but God did not. God won't. God could stop Eve from doing that. That's not a lot of Christians have this idea. Don't have this idea. Oh, if I'm going to the wrong place, I'm going to do the wrong thing, God would stop me. You think so? Do you think so? Try to put a knife into your throat and do this and see whether God stop you. As simple as that. As you guys go to the high-rise building and step up down the ledge and see whether God stop you. You make every one of us have a choice. God don't want to stop you. God guides you. And how He guides you? He guides you with the Word. Don't let the serpent, don't let the serpentine nature, the spirit twist your mind. So we have an end time message. People will try to be some great somebody when they are not called. You know? And people like Jonah, whom God called, he ran away. You know? And Jonah was a good case. He just told God, those people out there, it's terrible. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. He ran away the other direction. No, God stops him. Because He told you to go there, you want to go there. Then you get into trouble with God. As ministers, if God asks you to do something for Him and you don't do it, He's going to stop you from running away. But if you choose to do the wrong thing to begin with, then nothing to do with God, He just says, Lord, I want to marry that woman. She's beautiful. I want to meet the man. The man has a six-pack, eight-pack. I like that kind of body. You know, that kind of man is a woman who's not a believer. You want to marry that? You think God's going to stop you? Huh? What did the Bible tell you about marriage, right? So everything is, we as Christians, we are being guided by the Word, by the Spirit. So God is not going to stop you when you go against it. Look at Israel. Until they repent, when God sent the prophet, then they'll repent. After a while, they even killed the prophet. They got tired. So don't let the serpent come into your mind. Okay, so now we have this. Seeds now become one. Every one of us, after the flood, became one. Okay, now what we have in chapter 6 that we read earlier now. All the flood came to destroy all the serpent seed. Everyone that is serpent seed, pure serpent seed, they all die in the flood. Okay? No serpent crossed the flood. No serpent seed, I'm talking about. No Canaanite man crossed the flood. Huh? Only one Canaanite woman crossed the flood, and that was Naaman. And Naaman did not give birth to any more children. Only Ham, Shem, and Japheth. That's all. Do you understand that? The Bible is clearly going to show us that there is no pure serpent seed beside the flood. But I have people out here in Singapore, believers who consider themselves preachers, arguing with me. What Brother Branham said? Are you sure that's what Brother Branham said? Or what Bob I'm talking about? The spiritual, religious serpent seed? Huh? Was it not in the day of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees and said, the religious leader, you snakes and your viper, you serpent. Right? You hurt the devil and so on and so forth. We were not born of fornication. They know that. But they were not the real serpent seed. Literal, but spiritual, religious. When we look in the Bible, we can see that. But people do not want to see. So, Barabbas said to us, when Barabbas talked about, when he preached, I think, in the serpent seed doctrine, a book, or teaching, there he said, how did the serpent get over the flood? Through the woman. Through the woman. He said that. So, I have this believer here in Singapore wrote me. Brother Abraham said, through the women, M-E-N, not M-E-N, not one, not man, not woman, but women. So more than one. And I suspect it must be through, I think he said, Ham's or something. Ham's wife or something like that. Oh yeah, that's smart theology. When you don't know about the Bible, don't try to interpret that. When Brother Man talks like this, remember, I see, was he talking about the spiritual side, the religious side, that serpent spirit? And we know the Bible shows us it cannot be. Noah was the last of the pure serpent, pure septic. Married a wife, Noah. There's no one. Eight went into the ark, eight came out. Oh, no, I have this guy, and one from Germany told me that the woman was pregnant. Don't know which one. They suspect that one of the four women were pregnant by the serpent man before they entered the flood. Think about it. Alright? Because God mentioned plural men, women, said at least two women must have been pregnant by serpent man before they entered the flood. I asked them, how did after a year, more than a year, it came up? Oh, Brother God, are you telling me that the gestation period of the serpent people is the same as the humankind? Oh my goodness. What is the gestation period of the woman? 9 months. So he's telling me that the serpent seed takes longer. So after the flood, they came out. It came out, of course, because the baby was born after that. Wow. You see, that kind of theology come. And the other one, they were telling me from Germany, serpent seed man hiding in the ark. Hiding in the ark. I mean, God doesn't know what he's writing. God doesn't know that they were hiding there. You know, this is the kind of theology that among only the anti-message people. That's why, you know, when they talk like this, the whole Christian world will call us foolish people. What is the light? What is the light in this message? After Abraham was gone, what is that light? It's dying out, right? Remember how Abraham talked about some church ages? There's how many people in the anti-message now, in this last age? How the light's gone? How many people already see the light? That's why I did what I have to do when God called me to do. Raise that standard up. Be a light. But people will not see it. You know? Even when Abraham came and hit out against the system, against that Babylonian system, that serpentine system, the trail all the way here. You know, the serpent laying on the pool here, the feces, all the trail, you can see it there, right? You know, last week I said I spelled the word S-H-I-T. As I said this in Singapore, this word is common when in our days. We talk about dog shit, cat shit, cow shit, right? It's very common. But they say back then there was one man from America way back when he read my book, when I used the word S-H-I-T there, I just emphasized, you see, because that has an impact. And he was one man who was arguing with me about this doctrine, all that doctrine, and I proved to him he had nothing to say. Then suddenly he wrote me, he said, "Brother, I'm offended by your word. You put the word S-H-I-T in your book. You offended me." Wow. Now he's finally found fight fault with me with that word, S-H-I-T. Like in America, when I was staying with a family in Oakland, the family are all very religious. You know, there's no television at home, there's no newspaper, no magazine in the house. They asked me, "Brother Gunn, how do you move around?" I said, "I ride a motorcycle." "You ride a motorcycle?" He said, "Yes." I never I could imagine as a preacher riding a motorcycle. I said, "Why?" "Well, the image of a motorcyclist, it's a hell rider." Oh my. You know, then we talk, he asked me, he said, "Do you have television at home?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, Brother Ken, how can you have a television at home? You know, that's an offense to me." "Huh?" I said, "Brother, you know what? You have a big house. You have a big car. You're very offensive to me." I said that in return. So how is the mentality of America has comes to that? You know what I'm saying? You know, there are many words that are considered vulgar. And I did a search on, I just Googled, I go to Wikipedia. And it says that, I thought the word has S-H-I-T, Wikipedia. Wikipedia, first thing it says that this word can be offensive, alright? If it is not feces, okay, if it's feces, click on this link here to go to feces. And I find very sweet. Okay, now let me use dictionary.com. You know dictionary.com? You have that. I type dictionary.com, then I type the F word. Then there is a word, big paragraph, that says a warning, you know, warning of usage. It flashed there. Wow. Then I type other offensive word. It comes out the same. But when I type S-H-I-T, nothing comes out. You put down there, now, feces. So how is it that S-H-I-T is so offensive to the American people? You know what I'm saying, huh? You know, and you know, there are a lot of words that Americans use today, which are new words, very offensive. You know, the Iraq war, mother of all war, something like that, right? And after that, the word mother of something is used. Mother this, mother that. Oh, my poor mother. How is it the mother F word comes up? Mother something else comes up. You know, they use all that kind of thing. But here in Singapore, as I said, well, perhaps we always use the word shit very often. Don't step on that shit, brother. You know, you're walking, you step on a dog shit. Yeah, everybody, you talk to anybody on the common people, that's dog shit, that's cow shit. So if you say cow shit, no, it's okay. But of course, when you use it in a very strong way against somebody, you know what I mean? You ask him with the word, then something like that, you know, that becomes very vulgar, obviously, you know, because, I mean, anyway, the word means something filthy, dirty, but not in a way that F word really used. So in the world that we live today, how the world changes. But that's one thing. But how does the Bible, when it comes to the Word of God, how can the Word be changed so differently? When the fact that it is all laid out so well in the Bible that we can see it, but people will twist the Word and so on and so forth. Now, in closing here, all those serpent seeds are destroyed in the flood. All of them. And all the firstborn of the Setic people, firstborn of all the Setic, huh? They all died out because they are the firstborn. They hold that the inheritance. They all died out before the flood came. But there are a lot of those uncle, auntie, cousins, nephew, right? They might have gone and married all those women and had a gallant time, you know. Until the flood came, they were destroyed too. Because even Noah, they were preaching, some of those who were related to Noah, come on! It's not going to happen! But it happened. So all over this side of the flood now, we all came from that tree, sons of Noah. No literal serpent seed survived here. Okay? In Singapore, as I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 3%, 3%. They believe in it. That there are little serpent seed here, on the earth. I said, who are they? I don't know. You don't know? Then how can you call them serpent seed? The only serpent seed I know today is in that religious line. Huh? They try so close to move with the Bible. I'm not talking about those pagan. The pagan is all mess already. That's one thing. But those that try to come get so close to the Word of God, to those who are God's people. You know, and that's what we are worried about. That's what is very dangerous. That's why when Jesus came, they were also following Jesus Christ. John came, they followed, right? And even when Paul was around, they were following Paul too. They are the ones that destroyed the Word of God. They will destroy the Word of God if they can. That's why we have people like that over in the Philippines. Out there. Those over there, out there in Africa, India. What about Europe? And I'm really, I feel sorry for those preachers who practice falsehood. Preaching lies to the people. They are well-known ministers. They are deceiving the people. Manipulating them. They are so sad. And there are those that fall away because they follow the wrong man, that the fourfold ministry. Such thing as that. And there are those that believe in Elisha. Or Elijah. I know Elisha. Sorry, or Joshua. One man ministry. They can perfect a bride. I don't believe that. That's why over here, brother and sister, why do we do what we do? I believe in the five-fold ministry so strongly. Why did I get those brothers from overseas? I don't know about them. They came to the associate with the truth. Huh? Over the year, they showed their ministry. I said, well, are you going to move? You want to move? Where you want to go? We'll help you. Because we have the fund here to help them move. Be a blessing. Send up to India. From India, come here. Or to Cambodia. You see, from Africa, they come over here. Or even way back, Brother ourselves, Brother Nono came over here. Go to Cambodia. You know, I believe in a five-fold ministry. If I have someone over in Europe, any place they can see the truth, they want to move, we'll help them move if their ministry is of a blessing. You know. But up here, now we supported him so that he could go to Egypt. Because the ministry is needed. Do you understand what I believe? 5 more minutes of perfect the bride so that we can get ready to go. That's the ministry in the last day, to get the bride perfect. So watch that serpent trail now. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for thy word. Thou have kept us all these many years, Lord. Through thick and thin, through trials, to persecution, to confusion, in weakness and in strength, thou have kept us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts always be right. Search us, O Lord, and know our hearts today. We pray, Father, that all that we have learned from you all these years, may we keep thy word in our heart and not sin against thee. And in time of need, O Father, your Spirit help us recall of that which we have learned, because it's a roadmap. The Bible, thy word is a roadmap. And in this life, Father, it is a guide, a lamp unto our pathway. We thank you, Father, for your love and for your word. Bless all the hearers, Father, today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.